Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about gifts at Christmas. We started out talking about how we get gifts from God that we ask for. Gifts such like forgiveness and hope, reconciled relationships. And then we talked about gifts we don't ask for. Don't you notice that at Christmas you have things you ask for, and then you find out there are things you get that you haven't asked for. And sometimes those gifts you haven't asked for are amazing, they're great. Things like the presence of the Holy Spirit. Things like hope. This past week we talked about pragmatic gifts. Those pragmatic gifts are those things that I just need them, they're helpful. I didn't realize I needed them, but we get them. And as I mentioned on Sunday, I don't know if any of you get any pragmatic gifts, but over the years I have received pragmatic gifts like toothbrushes and deodorant. I need them. I don't have to buy another set. While I open my package or open my stocking, there they are, pragmatic gifts. And God has given us pragmatic gifts. He's given us his word. To read it and to be guided by it and to have it shape and shape our lives and give us direction. Purpose. To live life with purpose, to have meaning and significance. We're not looking for that, but can I tell you? To have a life of meaning and significance is huge. Huge. This coming week, we're going to unpack and talk about one more set of gifts. Now, to just wet your whistle and to make you think, I'm just going to ask this. What would a frozen raccoon have to do with the next kind of gift we're going to talk about on Sunday? I'm not going to explain it tonight. I'll tell you on Sunday. But a frozen raccoon fits in the last set of gifts. But tonight, I want to focus on the greatest gift. Now, do you all come downstairs, or maybe you come... Maybe you live in a ranch, or maybe you live downstairs and you come upstairs and you for me growing up, it's always was coming downstairs. We would come down the front stairs and we'd look through the door to the living room and there was the tree. And if maybe you were like me, you would kind of look under the tree and you would look for the biggest gift. And you would hope your name was on it. Well, sometimes those big gifts are really, really cool. Because when you open it, you pull the lid up, you fold everything back, and you look in this biggest gift, and you realize that the biggest gift is a container for more gifts. And you look, and there's not just one big gift that you're going to pull out, but there's a plethora of other gifts that you get to unwrap. And see, that greatest gift is like that gift. And that greatest gift is Jesus. Because it's as we unwrap Jesus and as we open Jesus and as we invite Jesus into our life, it's all those other gifts that come pouring into our lives. And Christmas is focusing on that great, great gift that God gave. And I just want to read from Luke and go back to that passage again that we are familiar with, that we read many Christmases. But I want to read it again. There are times when it's okay to be original, and there are times when it's just to stay right with tradition, isn't it? And this is one of those times you just stay right with tradition. We read from Luke chapter 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Now think about this. The other night I was turning the lights out and over our fireplace where we put our manger. And the manger we have is an old one. So it's from my folks from when they first were married. So it would be a classic or an antique at this point. And as I was looking at that manger, getting ready to turn the lights out, I just looked at that again. And I grew up in dairy country, and so I know the smells of farms. And I looked at that manger and thought, man, do we remember or do we think about the senses and the touch and the feel of that first Christmas night? It was earthy. The smell of cows, the smell of goats. We know the sheep were out in the pasture. We're going to look at them in a second. Probably chickens running around. You ever crawl into hay and jump into hay? Anyone ever jump into hay? We are maybe further away from, we're not as agrarian a culture as we used to be, so not all of us have had the chance to play in hay. I've played in hay. Can I tell you, it itches. We look at hay and we think it's pretty and beautiful. We'll lay it out in different times. But I got to tell you, when you play in hay, I've been out haying and taking those hay bales and throwing those hay bales, and you scratch and you itch, and it just, it doesn't matter. It gets into your clothing and it gets in you. And they're laying Jesus in that manger. A nice hay manger. But it was God's greatest gift ever. See, God was giving us a gift that night where we would be able to unwrap all that God was giving us, and there is so much more there. It's the greatest gift ever. The story continues. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. This is the point where the weak-bladdered shepherds would lose it. If you've ever been camping or outside at night, you're not expecting something to appear out of nowhere. You just aren't. I've camped my entire life. I am not looking for something to come in towards the campsite at night out of the darkness. I'm just not looking for that. I'm content to kind of look at the fire. I'm content to focus on the people around the fire. And I'm content to have that be my focus and have that my attention. But this angel appears. And they are terrified because they didn't see him coming. They didn't hear anyone walking through the brush. They didn't hear anyone walking up the field. You all, if you've had those nights, brightly lit moon nights, you can see really well. I don't know if it was a cloudy night or a bright moon night. But they didn't see anybody coming. I can't snap my finger loud enough. Boom. He is there. Talking. Terrified. And he says to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah. The Lord has been born today into Bethlehem in the city of David." As the angel is talking, there's a verse that they're thinking of. And there's a place where they're going to go in their minds and in their attention. It's from Isaiah chapter 9. And these are the words from Isaiah. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." See, they are waiting for, and they are looking for this Messiah to come. They are knowing that he is coming. And when the angel says to you, today in the city of David is born to you the Messiah, these are the verses that they went to. This is what they're thinking about. The promise of Isaiah, the promised one of God, the one we have been waiting for, is here. And so the angel finishes saying that. He says, and you will recognize him by this sign. Doesn't you love it when you read something and you lose your place? The first time I ever did anything on a Christmas Eve, I was around 14 years old. And I was one of the youth kids in the youth group, and it was our turn to read things that evening. I read, and I must have gotten lost about 10 times that night. I just was reading a few verses, and I got lost 10 times, and I'm still doing it all these years later. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Now the rest of the guys lose it. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heavens and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Now think of this for a second. It's one thing to be freaked out by an angel showing up out of nowhere and talking to you. But just imagine this. You don't realize it, but you are seated on the field of a football stadium. Everything is dark around you, and you and your friends have sheep scattered around the field, somewhere between one end zone and the other. You're sitting there minding your own business, watching the sheep. No clue that you led all of your sheep into this stadium. And all of a sudden, on the 50-yard line, this light appears, and there's this guy talking to you and telling you about Jesus being born. And that kind of freaks you out because it's a pitch black night, it's dark, and you're not used to people showing up at night. You're out in the fields all the time. You're watching sheep out there all the time. But you're not expecting anyone who's glowing to show up and have a conversation with you. But you have no idea that you're on the 50-yard line with this guy in a stadium. Because as he finishes telling them where to find Jesus, the stadium lights up with a vast crowd of angels. It talks about the armies of heaven. And they show up praising God and praising the Lord for the birth of Jesus. Because this amazing gift that God has been telling the nation of Israel, he is coming. The one they have all been looking for, he is now here. And the angels of heaven show up, you're on the 50-yard line, and all around you the stadium is roaring with joy and celebration and praise. Now think about this. You all have watched a football game, I'm sure, at least once or twice, and you hear on that TV screen the roar of the crowd when something great takes place. It sounds great coming from your TV screen. It sounds even more fun when you're in the stadium when it's taking place. But when you're not expecting everyone to show up, and all of a sudden they are there, and they are cheering and roaring, you think you're bold. You would probably be laid out. An amazing night. An amazing night. But what's cool is after the angels go, they depart the stadium and it's just them again with their sheep. They say, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. And Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. And it said the shepherds went back to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. I have good news for you. Jesus has come. God has given us a gift that is amazing. Those things that we ask for, forgiveness. Those things that we ask for, reconciled relationships. Those things we hunger for, to have our lives changed and transformed and be made right. Those are things that Jesus gives. And that's among the things that we open in that amazing box and we start to pull out gifts. They're all gifts that come from our relationship with Jesus. We have an amazing gift. It's Jesus. And I hope this year, this week, tonight, tomorrow, that you celebrate the amazingness of who Jesus is and the amazingness of how much God loves you in giving us Jesus so that we can be restored to relationship with God, have a right relationship, and know forgiveness in his presence forever. He is really good. Let's pray together. Father, I say thank you for this gift of Jesus. And Father, I say thank you for the hope and the life, the purpose, the meaning, the value, and all of that that comes from out of that box as we start to unwrap and we start to discover who Jesus is and what it means for us to have a relationship with him. Father, thank you so much. It's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.